This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Boy, are you all in for a treat. If you thought perhaps you were just going to listen to the beginning and then you had plans because it's Friday night, cancel them because there's something unprecedented happening here today, which is that not only do I have one of the major rock stars of the sex world on the show, I have her actually in the studio. So she's sitting across from me at the Sex Out Loud studios. And she needs no introduction, but I am going to give her one because she deserves it. Susie Wright is the author of more than a dozen books, including Full Exposure, Opening Up to Sexual Creativity and Erotic Expression, The Sexual State of the Union, Mommy's Little Girl, Susie Bright on Sex, Motherhood, Pornography, and Cherry Pie, and co-author of the Mother-Daughter Sex Advice book with her daughter, Aretha Bright. She's the editor of more than 25 anthologies, including the Best American Erotica series and the Herotica series. Her memoir, Big Sex, Little Death, was released in paperback in 2012. She's the host and producer of her own weekly podcast on Audible called In Bed with Susie Bright. Susie Bright was the co-founder and editor of On Our Backs magazine and the first journalist to cover erotic cinema and the porn business in the mainstream press. A progenitor of the sex positive movement, Bright taught the very first university course on pornography and brought lasting sexual influence to her role in films like Bound and The Celluloid Closet, as well as playing herself, quote, the feminist sex writer on 6 Feet Under. She's here. We're uncensored. I wish we could say we had a few glasses of wine in us, but for various reasons, we have not. But still, I think things are going to get a little bit nutty. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Susie Bright.
I'm so glad to be right here up close. I get to see what the studio really looks like. And plus, you know, I can wear whatever I want or not.
Yeah. So we are naked, just so you know. We made this bet with each other, you know, who would show up to the interview naked. And you know, we're sort of competitive in a weird way. And so we wanted to outdo each other. And so we both showed up naked. And let me just say, I don't know if it's California. I don't know if it's masturbation, because that's Betty Dodson's excuse. But Susie Bright looks amazing. I mean, she just had a bath, so her skin is sort of flushed. She just took a bath in my bathtub. I kid you not. And her nipples are sort of erect because it's warm in here, but she's excited or something. I mean, maybe it's me. So we're having this whole piece of the interview today. You're gonna miss as because you're not watching us, but we'll chime in at various points about the nudity and how it adds to the dynamic. Okay. So let's start right where we are, which is that the reason you could even come to the Sex Out Loud studios is that you just came from Cornell, where there was this big celebration at the library for this new exhibit, Speaking of Sex. And the exhibition actually celebrates the 25th anniversary of the Human Sexuality Collection and its success at connecting researchers with erotica, rare books, letters, photographs, and original artwork, films, and all sorts of ephemera related to sexuality. Now, you donated lots of your own work, papers, manuscripts, plus all these documents related to On Our Backs to the Human Sexuality Collection at Cornell. Tell me what's there now that like scholars and other little peepers can go see.
Well, it's remarkable to have this kind of preservation because so often when you want to study and talk about sexuality, whether you want to speak of it 100 years ago or 10 years ago, how do you verify what's true, what was rumor, what was legend? If something is secret and treated as ephemeral or worse, shameful, you can't verify. You can't say we looked at all the pieces and we're able to start to draw some clear analysis and stories and know what happened here and then look at what's happening today and have an opinion or two. I knew this was an extraordinary place. A lot of people have heard of the Kinsey Institute, but they don't know that there's very few places in the world.
In the world. That's the amazing thing.
Besides the Vatican, that collect historic sexual material. And the Kroc Library at the Rare and Manuscript Collection is one of them. So I was overwhelmed the first time I visited, and I was looking for a place to put a few major things. One, the On Our Backs archives, which included my work, a great deal of the photography from Honey Lee Cottrell, publisher Deborah Sundahl's archives, all the office files. I actually had the office files.
You kept the office files.
Debbie kept the office files for so long. And she was like, I'm so glad you have some place to put this in. Because we all had various attics, storage spaces where we said, this stuff is important. Where else can you see everything from, like, the money we took in, the bookstores that were alive at that time, to the model releases, the notes, the meetings we would have where we'd say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to, you know.
The hate mail? Is there hate mail in there?
We're going to take down Reagan, you know. And then the hate mail is priceless. And you know what? You brought up the hate mail, so now I have to get into that. Sometimes I think I'm exaggerating how outrageous people were and the kind of awful and incredible things they accused us of. I mean, nowadays people think trolling is, you know, just happens on the internet, but back then, you know, snail mail.
You had to commit. You had to write a letter, go to the post office, put a stamp on it.
And there was a lot of newspapers where you could publish your letter to the editor. So to see all of it and say, that was real. I mean, we really did get things that said, Susie Bright is a male pornographer operating out of Japan, running a white slave trade controlled by the Mitchell brothers. I'm not making this up. I thought I had made it up after all these years.
Right.
And then I get the letters and it's all right there. So anyway, On Our Backs archives in a million different directions. Nan Kinney's materials. So many artists who said, Susie, you've led us to believe you're going to take good care of this. And I was able to put it in one place and show something extraordinary that really is something in lesbian history that never happened before. And in some ways you could say wouldn't happen again. I show that magazine to undergrads at Cornell now or visiting scholars. And they're like, my God, when did women shut up? I mean, this unleashed something. The second thing that's there is some of your listeners may know that I was the first mainstream style movie critic of porn movies.
Yeah.
That is to say,
The sort of Roger Ebert.
Right.
Of
I
porn.
Wrote reviews as opposed to saying, Debbie's double D tits really packing the action this time. I mean, you know, it wasn't flack copy, it was reviews. And I worked for Penthouse Forum from the mid 80s to the end of the decade. And I kept every great movie I reviewed, both old and new, in all kinds of formats, 8mm, 16, 35, VHS, beta, all of it. And those films, you know, you have to keep them someplace special, especially since after the Meese report and the whole prosecutorial initiative towards the porn business in the 80s, some of the biggest producers, including Russ Hampshire at VCA, said, destroy the masters of right. anything that might get us in trouble, or if you can't edit it so that it doesn't cause us a problem, get rid of it. And that memo of what should be preemptively censored, which was called the Cambria Memo, named after the lawyer who
still to this day is the lawyer who tells you what you can and can't show in mainstream porn.
And he was trying to second guess what might get prosecuted, but that list got taken to such an extreme degree. I mean, there were things on it like anything in which a woman is seen to be at an argumentative disadvantage. In other words, it was supposed to be violence against women, but the way it got, or degrading to women, or hurtful against women. But that meant no woman could be in an argument with another character. Well, that just takes drama out of your
script. Right out of drama. Right.
Like what Hollywood movie would withstand that? Or it would say there can't be any recognizable brand names or locations, which meant if you shot something in front that just happened to be in front of a store or a high school or a courthouse, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Many of the greatest movies that we had were destroyed in this process, including by filmmakers you might be surprised to hear were censored in this way. Orson Welles, cinematographer, Gary Graver, Roger Watkins, one of the great horror masters. Madley Metzger, sensibly, was one of the only people who kept hold of his work. And that's why you see these new awesome Blu-ray reissues completely redone of opening of Misty Beethoven, because he kept it.
He kept the master.
VCA wouldn't distribute the Misty Beethoven as it stood. So you had this fantastic group of stuff that I have one of the original editions of.
Right.
And now it's someplace where it can be digitized, where people can go and say, I want to spend a month doing a dissertation, doing an article, focusing on my thesis. I want to teach, whatever you want to do. The whole point is it's a library. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be open to people who are ready to roll up their sleeves and study. Another sweet thing I'll tell you is the last night I was at Cornell, I did a revival of one of my old show and tell movie clip shows, where I show clips from interesting pieces I think tell you a lot about the character of masculinity and femininity in porn, or what did people mean when they said sex and violence? What actually were they talking about? Well, when we were speaking of women turning upside down female stereotypes and female orgasm on screen, I showed a piece from Fatal Video, made by the same On Our Backs crew. It stars Debbie Sundahl, Nan Kinney. It's shot by Honey Lee Cottrell. And Debbie has this huge, freaking, exquisite build-up ejaculation right in the camera. And it was the first that we did. I think there might have been some, was there anything purely educational about that? This was the first that was done as an
erotic
film.
Is this where she's
film.
In a nightie and Nan is reading the paper
and she's
trying to distract, like...
Yeah, it's a satire about lesbian bed death, and Nan is popping a beer and couldn't care less, and Debbie's in the chair...
Jerking off
like, oh, I'll show you who's boring. And then, it's got this nice little comic scenario to it. Well, I'm watching it with the Cornell audience, telling them about the significance of the first ejaculation on film and, what it was like to shoot this.
There were dildos. It was Butch Femme. I mean, there was so much going on.
Right.
So much going on there.
And all of a sudden I said, oh my God, we have this costume here at Cornell. The corset and the negligee that Debbie is wearing in that shot, she kept her most beautiful dancing and performance costumes. She was a really amazing, I say was, I mean, I'm sure she could pull it out of her pocket anytime she wanted, but in her professional career, she was an amazing erotic dancer. And unlike me, who ripped every stocking I ever had for more than 3 minutes, who all my gorgeous stuff is in tatters, she, she had everything just so.
Wow.
She had them all in like little satin pouches and perfectly clean and lovely and nothing torn.
There's a particular archetype of this sort of organized stripper. I know this person. She's that. Yes, I know. I know. Yes.
I mean, is it because she was a Capricorn, or is there another explanation?
I don't know. But I know I've met people in the porn industry who are the same way. Exceptional.
And it, when I brought, I mean, I'm so glad she kept these things. And this was her kind of white virginal costume. I mean, it was the little Bo Peep. You know, she had the black femme fatale costumes, and then she had the ivory white one. So to have that in the library, it's just kind of special.
Wow. Okay. We have to take a break, people. But I'm picturing that nightie because I know that scene so well. If you guys want to see that scene, I think you can still buy it. I think you can go to fatalemedia.com and we'll put that link up on our website. So stay with us. Coming up, I'm going to ask Susie about, you know, the state of the sexual union, and we're going to talk about some current events in sexuality. And this is all right off the cuff, on the fly, uncensored, me, Susie Bright, naked in the Sex Out Loud studios. So don't go anywhere.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
This is Raymond Johnson, associate producer of Sex Out Loud. And Neros is about pleasure and precision. The UFO Sin is a velvety silicone prostate toy that works great easing into any hole that likes stimulation. The slim design targets your pleasure areas and inspires stronger and harder arousal. Learn for yourself why the XBiz Awards named UFO Sin the winner of Sexual Wellness Product of the Year. Enjoy better sex today. Find UFO Sin and the entire line of pleasure products on aneros.com. That's aneros.com. Get 15% off and free shipping on orders over $75 by using the coupon code BETTERSEX.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. You know, Good Vibrations is my presenting sponsor, and they're having a crazy sale this weekend only, 20% off all Laylo products. Those are those high-end, gorgeous, gorgeous vibrators, butt toys, just really some fantastic stuff, and 20% off just this weekend. Now, if you're listening later on and it's not this weekend anymore, you can still go to goodvibes.com and use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. So one thing you need to know about my show, if this is like your first time listening, there's a lot of coupon codes, and I need you to actually write them down or type them into your smartphone or something, because this way you go and use them and my sponsors say, oh, okay, we're supporting the show and these people in turn are supporting us back. So just get a little notepad and just keep it by your bed so that as you listen, you can write all these coupon codes down.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to call Good Vibrations and I'm going to start like crying and mewling like a little bitch and saying, Tristan said I could have 90% off the most expensive fucking
butt plug. I want it. And she said so. And she said, and I don't know the coupon code. Fuck you. Tristan said so. Just say the Tristan said so should,
Tristan
be, the
said so should be the coupon. It's such a long coupon code, though. Okay. The other thing is we're live, in case you haven't like figured that out. We are live. We are uncensored. I wish we were drunk, but we're not. You can call us and talk to us. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788, or you can hit us up on social media. We are taking your questions all night. We are not going to be here all night, but, you know, for this hour. Okay. I'm talking to Susie Bright, one of just the most legendary feminist, sex-positive people
move
in the world.
On. Move on.
And here's what struck me. I've read your bio many times, but this piece about you teaching this course on pornography struck me because today, March 21st, 2014, today Routledge released the very first issue of the new journal, scholarly journal, mm-hmm. Porn Studies. Kind of a big deal. The first issue is actually free online for a very limited time. So we'll put that link up on our website and on our social media. But what do you think about the fact that we now have a journal called Porn Studies?
Well, I'm as celebratory and impressed as you are, but it's something that for those of us who've had a intellectual and historic interest in this subject, it feels like, I don't know. A long time coming, and a little bit like, I don't know, like I was born for this to happen. Do you know how I learned how to wield a red pen and copy edit and proofread? My dad was the editor of the Linguistics Academic Journal for 35 years.
Wow.
It's called Language. There's more than one now, but for a long time, this was it. Linguistics was kind of like sex studies. It was
tiny.
And there wasn't a shame-based factor, but it was like, what are you talking about factor? People didn't know how to pronounce it. They would make jokes about cunnilingus. You know, no, I'm not kidding. That's the oldest.
Because now linguistics is like
everything.
A celebrated field. Yeah. And everyone says
But it was weird. And but for those who cared about it, it was their everything. And he would sit at this big oak desk, which is now in my office, and put me in his lap, and I got to hold a red pencil, not a red pen yet, because I wasn't big enough, and I had to look, the very first thing I did, and if you want to teach your five-year-old how to do this, it can be done. He didn't say go for the grammar. He said, look and see if any of the typesetting is broken, like if any of the E's or the A's, you know, so mm-hmm. This was back in the days when it wasn't digital
right.
type. And that began it for me. And I remember going through galley after galley being fascinated with this is what it takes to study something, to produce, you know, all those like early concepts were in my teeny tiny brain.
Wow.
So as soon as I, you know, you told me this morning, the porn journal is here. I'm like, well, can I have a paper copy?
Oh, yes, you said that. You said, I'm going to be, no, you said it very matter-of-factly, I'm going to be reading mine in paper. And I was like, I don't know if it's available in paper, Susie Bright. And I actually still don't know the answer to that.
And there's been work like this all the time, but it had to find its way in different genres. I mean, one of the most, look at Linda Williams. Look mm-hmm. at Constance Penley.
And Linda Williams is in the first issue
I'm
of
not
Porn
surprised.
Studies.
Yep. And one of my favorite articles that just made me realize what could happen was when Ethne Johnson, when she was in Boston, was it at Emerson or BU? Probably Emerson, right? Because BU's Catholic. I don't know. Maybe one of you will correct me, but Ethne wrote the history along with Eric Johnson of how the snuff hoax
was
created not by mean right wingers, but by exploitation filmmakers looking to make a lot of money with tremendous hype.
Yeah, Constance Penley teaches this in her course on pornography. Yeah,
and it was Ethne and her partner Eric who got to the bottom and found every little detail. like, you know, brought it all alive so you could find out, you know, what the mayor of New York said when snuff opened, what happened in Cincinnati, and how you couldn't do that kind of suspenseful titillation now, because when a film comes out, we spread the word by the internet. You know, there's spoilers galore.
Right.
Back then, you could keep people in another city from knowing, oh, it's just a load of hooey. It's just a lot of spaghetti. It's a bad horror movie. And make them think, oh my God.
You're going to witness something unlike anything else.
You're going to witness this psychopathic murder happening in real time. You'll never, you know, you'll never get over your nervous breakdown. They were actually able to keep that meme going, so much so that places were passing laws preemptively. And, of course, it got taken up by a part of the women's movement that was really worried, or even depends on how you look back, either worried about porn or cynical about exploiting the moral issues of porn, for them to say, you see, we told you. Snuff film, it's called snuff, therefore, ipso facto.
They exist. There's an entire network of people right now killing women on film. There's a huge hungry market for it. I mean, it caught on. People still, like, to this day, ask questions about snuff films.
They still think it is. And I'm like, have you seen Bad Grandpa? Well, then, I'm sorry, this will disappoint you.
Right. So this brings me to another question. It's a question you asked me on my couch earlier today. Because just so you know, when Susie Bright comes to visit you, there's like small talk for about 5 minutes.
Aww.
And then she sits you down and she's like, what is the state of the sex positive movement today, Tristan? And it's like, dun, dun, dun. And I'm like, I look at Colton and I'm like, I no one sent me this question ahead of time and I'm ill prepared to answer it. But Susie Bright, when you were such an influence on so much of the work that many of us do in sex positive feminism today, when you sit back, what are we doing right and what have we fucking got totally wrong? Seriously, just some constructive criticism. That's all I want.
Some constructive criticism.
Yeah, just tell us what we've gotten right. I mean, have things changed? Are you proud to see that, like, you taught this course once and now there's this whole journal dedicated to porn studies? I mean, that is a piece of your legacy that has to be progress. So you have to see some things moving forward.
Okay, I'm gonna wing it.
Okay.
All right? Because it's not like I sit around planning this manifesto every day. But today I see what, for the lack of a better term, we're going to call an avant-garde of artists, intellectuals, and scholars who have been powerfully influenced by the women's erotic renaissance, by the queer sexual revolution, lesbian sex revolution in particular, the new porn wave, the whole punk rock thing that happened to sex, the wedding of sex and technology, the opening up to people who never had been able to control the means of production, all of it, okay? Huge effect on a slice of people that includes us. There are peers. There are milieu. Okay, here's the bad story. Maybe it's extra bad because it affects a lot more people. We've seen an eradication of the American middle class, the destruction of our education system, of healthcare, and as a group, you know, as a country, and I'm just going to focus on the states here for a minute because we were considered the pioneers, the feisty, crazy ones when it came to sexual liberation. Now we're behind. And why are we behind? I believe it's because of these greater issues. When I go to big schools and big conferences now where I'm not with, you know, the bohemian avant-garde with a cigarette and a toupee, not a toupee, a beret.
God. Or a toupee and a beret, which would actually make it look a little bit better.
Okay. What I'm saying is when I'm in more mainstream crowds, the level of, huh? What? But isn't sex wrong? But what about settling down and romance and monogamy and, you know, like, or even
love and intimacy.
Love and intimacy and,
right.
Or if I'm even in a crowd that is, you know, entertaining ideas about erotica and kink, there will still be like, well, I don't think it's right to fantasize about such and such. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We had this conversation so 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever years ago.
We resolved it.
I think it's because of these broader forces at work that we have. I mean, you hear teachers talking about this in all subjects. It's not just sex. You talk to, you know, crabby boomers like me, and I'm right on the cusp of boomer Gen X, and they'll talk, and you'll hear these same things of like you walk into a room and you want to talk about, I don't know, anything, race, sex, class, history, war, peace, literature, science, and what do you find yourself talking to? I walk into undergrad classes at major universities today. They are struggling to get students to accept the idea of evolution. I mean, we weren't doing that.
It's still up for debate.
Yeah, when I was in college in the 70s, we were not discussing whether it was Adam and Eve and Adam and Steve. That wasn't the grinding aspect. So I'm a little uptight about those, you know, state of affairs. I take inspiration from things that are happening internationally. When I look at the sex worker unions in Asia, Africa, and Europe, I'm like, you go. My God, we're not even nearly there in our discussion of prostitution in the United States. Canada is a different subject. So, yeah, I find myself looking towards the rest of the world.
Okay. You brought up a number of good points, one of which makes me think of Melissa Gira Grant's book, Playing the Whore, The Work of Sex Work. That's just out, and she's going to be a guest on the show coming up, because you had this kind of socialist almost analysis of where we are in America. So I want to keep going on that, but we've got to take a break. Hear from our fantastic sponsors, maybe hear from you on the phone. You know, you could call us. You could call once in a while. Hello, you can call. So listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we will be back with the ever wonderful, opinionated, articulate Susie Bright.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try AstroGlide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. AstroGlide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. AstroGlide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does AstroGlide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live today with the irrepressible Susie Bright. And you can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AskTristan, on our Twitter feed, @SexOutLoudRadio. Give us your questions, give us your comments, give us everything. Also, I want to let you know that WeVibe makes, you know, WeVibe is famous for the WeVibe, right? But they also make this great toy called the Tango, which is petite yet very powerful. It's body safe. It comes in two new colors. It has an improved charging cap. It's USB rechargeable. It's like the size of a lipstick. You throw it in your purse and you go. And you go and you go and you get off. So go to WeVibe.com, find out more. Some people got on the horn to ask us questions. And I want to start with this one because it strikes me as a question you probably get asked a lot, but there's like a little bit of a twist. And by the way, people who ask questions on my show win prizes. So people, what are you waiting for? Okay, this comes to us via email from Jamie. What is the most important thing about sexual communication between partners that you've learned? And how did you learn it? It's a good question.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's the qualities you're talking about as a sex educator, but when you put me on the spot like that, I think about being a young lover, you know, when I wasn't a professional sex educator by any stretch of the imagination. And what worked, you know, because I had both good, bad, and fantastic sex back then, too, long before I was any kind of a Susie sexpert. And what strikes me now is that if you like each other and you, you know, smell good to each other, there's some good
chemistry.
You get a second chance and a third one and a fourth one. Like this, there's so much pressure, like, okay, big date, I want to be, you know, so ready, I'm going to make this move, then I'm going to make that move, then when they say this, I say that, and this kind of a chess game approach, or that we're all supposed to be, I don't know, you get this way after you read too many blogs where you think everything can be distilled into 10 tips. Top 10 tips before you have anal. Top 10 tips.
To find your G-spot.
Before you frig yourself, you know. And what if it's just a big mess, but you get there anyway? I think it took me a long time before I had messy, sloppy sex and really dug it instead of being nervous about it. You know, like when you're trying to get something inside you, and instead of like, it's got to be smooth, seamless penetration, what if you just keep missing and it's gets you even hotter and it's more fun?
Right, right.
And it's messy and sweaty. I really like that. I guess I'm getting into awkward drive-in sex. And the older I get, the more the fumbling seems like exquisite foreplay. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I wanted to come off as like, yes, how dare you think I'm a virgin? I'm a total pro.
Right, right, right.
Where's my toupee? I mean, my beret. So how did I learn that? I learned that from patient, more experienced lovers who probably thought I was adorable, trying to be so perfect. And helped me unwind by digging me and enjoying me so much. And, you know, I always feel like looking back a few chapters. Professionally, I wouldn't know where to begin. I'd feel more self-conscious. There's so many books that made a big impression on me and that I would then write up and hand to someone else and say, you know, this could be a turning point for you. I mean, people tell me all the time, I get a lot of questions about, open relationships on my show, mm-hmm. and people often talk about your book. They talk about opening up. They talk about The Ethical Slut. They ask me if there's 10 more books like that. You know, they want to get it right. So there's lots of times people have touchstones, and I've got too many of those to even name. When I started working at Audible, I said, well, clearly one of the things I want to do in audio that needs to happen in the world global audiobook library is we need a lot of the great sex education works that have never been part of this. You know, I must have that. And reaching out to people who I'd always wanted to see recorded, who I thought had something really beautiful to say, that's been special to me. You know, like, make that mark.
Mm-hmm.
Make something that we can read and listen to any way we want to.
Well, but, you know, it strikes me as you're saying it, that it's one thing to just, you know, have a novel on audio and hear it brought to life at a different level and in a different context in a different way. But to have sex and sex education on audio is pretty radical, because it's like someone talking in your ear about things people don't talk about out loud, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a big, big deal. And sometimes, you know, when you think about, like, you know, these early, like, the joy of sex and how, you know, how out there it was for its time.
Mm-hmm.
How really, really, truly, like, out there and groundbreaking and revolutionary it was.
Yeah. And sometimes I've been able to get folks who are still alive and kicking and have great voices to read their own works, like Max Valerio reading the Testosterone Files.
Mm. Betty Dodson.
Betty Dodson.
Reads her own memoir, My Romantic Love Wars.
There's one piece after another. I know with Jack Morin, probably the most heartbreaking audiobook I produced was he used to be a radio DJ before he was a college professor.
I did not know that.
And before he was a sex educator or, you know, a master therapist. And I wanted him to read Anal Pleasure and Health, and he kept canceling the recording date. And I knew he couldn't wait to do this, and he was going to be so great at it. And we had this very poignant talk where he told me he'd had a cancer diagnosis, and his life, he said, everything's changing really fast. And I mean, it's like making this, you know how you make a promise to someone when you just don't know if you're going to see them again. And I'm like, I'll do that right by you. And the actor who reads this is going to be somebody whose life was changed by this book. And that was my casting, you know, like, okay, you can bring in all these guys who want to read this book, but I want to find someone who says, this is on my bookshelf and I want to do this as an homage to Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did.
Oh, God. Oh, we lost Jack Morin and, well.
Well, we've lost a lot of really special people.
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Jamie. And because you asked it, you were brave enough to ask it, you're going to win a prize from Sportsheets, a beginner bondage kit from Sportsheets. So email me your mailing address and Sportsheets will send you your prize. But speaking of audio, so you are, I don't know what your official title is, editor at large?
I'm editor at large.
Editor at large.
Large and in charge.
At audible.com. You have this thing called the Bright List,
yeah.
Which is your personal picks and your curated list of things you want on audio, and you acquire them and you shepherd them through, like the story you just told. So tell me some of the big things happening in audio, especially around sex right now. What's selling? What does everyone want to hear? Why is my audiobook not selling? No, really, Susie, let's break it the fuck down, shall we?
Oh, wow.
Go.
Put on the spot.
Not that book. Not the book you picked. I mean, another book I did. My Butch Femme book, which I self-produced, it's like, you people, it's the hottest fucking thing in the world and you won't buy it. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, man. Well, if you want to write a book tomorrow that hits the top of the charts, Tristan,
mm-hmm.
if you want to just laugh all the way to the bank.
I do want to laugh to the bank.
I suggest you write a rip-roaring erotic romance on the theme of cyborgs and species-changing fuckers.
No. Okay, the romance part I got, because okay. I know romance is very big. Explain this last part. Species-changing fuckers? What? What is that? What do you mean?
That's not what they call them in the romance world, but that's what I'm calling them.
Okay.
So, okay, it means that you have your usual kind of good, plucky girl, Nancy Drew, who secretly wants to get plowed, right?
Of course. That's a traditional archetype.
Pretty much stays the same.
Okay.
She's plucky. She's determined. She has no idea what she's getting into.
She's a little bit shy. And she's very ordinary when she has her sweater and her glasses on, like that. Yeah, right. Okay.
But unleashed, you know, she's voracious.
She's multi-orgasmic.
Of course she is.
Always.
And if you took like a 50 Shades of Grey thing, I mean, it's, or even a Jane Eyre book, you've got the dark brooding hero who's, you know, troubled, blah, 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 but he's really hot. And her attempts to both tame him and also to be liberated by his domination. And there's a lot, actually, romance has now moved into submissive men, gay men's things, all kinds of stories. But the dominant, troubled bad boy
that we
still
love. Right.
Is still the majority of the lover heroes. And what happened with him lately, and this is obvious to anyone who watches TV and likes that show True Blood, you know, about the vampires,
yes,
and the changelings and the werewolves and the, you know, how these really hot guys transform into fantastical
animalistic beasts.
Animalistic beasts with super sexual powers. And just that alone was really hot. But then a lot of people who, there's a lot of romance fans who cross over into sci-fi. So they liked cyborgs too. You know, like, I want a little transformer robot, you know, alien action. Well, why not take together the animals and the cyborgs? Plus, they've got a great cock. And and they're troubled.
Of course they're troubled.
They're so fucking troubled. And all they need is the love and clit of a really good woman, right?
Right. As we all do. But so anyway, what does this mean? Now I really want to get down to it. What does it mean that we can't get enough of these stories of, you know, sort of being in love and being, you know, set loose by these animals?
I'm going to say we, because this doesn't work for everybody.
Okay.
You know what gets me off? Noir mysteries with an X-rated twist. I could use a lot more of those. They do not end happily. I don't get off on happy endings myself.
You don't want to be swept up and by the cyborg or whoever. And
well,
yeah.
No, I can be swept. I mean,
but you like it darker.
I like it darker. And but for a lot of the books that I produce aren't all just for my personal, you know, pleasure at the end. I do all kinds of books. Mm-hmm. Anything that I think has a genuine, authentic listener. I mean, like, you're valid. You know, like, I may not exactly love what you love, but this is a great example of what you do want. And the writers who do this the best, I mean, I tease them. They all get teased because some of the premises are so fantastical, but they know how to tell a good yarn. I mean, no matter what, how outrageous the plot is, they have to be able to hook you so that you're like, okay, I'm in, and take me to the end. And
take me to the vampire werewolf coven den,
yeah,
whatever
it is. And it's nothing new that romance is a huge popular genre. It really, the only thing that's new, and this is when people say, well, what do you think of 50 Shades of Grey? It wasn't an erotic milestone. It was a romance milestone, because people in romance had been doing this for years and selling gazillions of copies, but weren't taken seriously. And other genres that used to be thought of as really fruity and, you know, sci-fi was like, please, we don't carry science fiction at the library. I'm serious.
It's so genre.
It was like, this was just considered pulp. Crap. Mysteries became very highfalutin stuff. Sci-fi obviously did. And romances were in this backwater. There's still people, they still suffer from a lack of, you know, literary criticism that elevates them. But in terms of the understanding that commercially they're forced to be reckoned with.
Right.
And that the people who read them are not dingbats
no.
and have very wide-ranging tastes.
Mm-hmm. You know? And cuts across class and sometimes race.
All
and,
kinds of
you know,
people.
All these, yeah, political. Yeah.
I mean, they're the, you know, yeah. they'd be the first to tell you, of course, this is escapist.
Mm-hmm.
But that this is what I like. And I like it like this, and I like it like that, and et cetera. So I would say that's some of the big news. Some of the other things I've been publishing lately that appeal to me nonfiction-wise, we've had a big book at the beginning of the year that had to do with the beginning of when we discovered how J. Edgar Hoover was spying on everyone. Nobody knew that for sure until there was a break-in at the FBI building, and nobody ever knew who it was, who got in there, but they took out all the files and they sent them to the Post and the New York Times. This is in the early 70s. No one knew who did it until today, 2014. Today, the surviving people came out of the closet and said, it was us. And the stuff they found out about, I mean, Hoover, everyone knows this, you know, currently, but his obsession with everyone's sex life, you know, mm-hmm. like it wasn't, oh, you might be a communist. Oh, you're a communist who's a homo, who's a this, who's a that, who likes it up the ass, who's, you know, has
cross-dressing, right.
prostitution. His mania to either find that out about anyone who could, if I say remotely an enemy, I mean, the people that were being investigated, you're like, what? You know, Captain Kangaroo, you know, give me a break. It was just too silly to be believed. But that, bringing that book out
and
to
that
me,
book is called
The Burglary by Betty Metzger, for me is the beginning of all the discussions we're having today about Snowden,
surveillance,
surveillance, all of it. And sex is at the heart of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I practically missed a commercial break. Thank you, Matt, for being patient with me because you were giving me these cues, which you give me on a regular basis all the time. And I was looking at them and acknowledging them in my brain and just so caught up in Susie Bright that I was like, I think those are the cues from the last commercial break. And then you were like, Tristan, no, really, we have to take a commercial break. So people, we have to take a commercial break. We're going there now. We'll be back. Me, Susie Bright.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My time flies when Susie Bright is naked in the Sex Out Loud studios live talking your ear off and you're not even paying attention. That's what happened to me, people. So We have just a little bit of time. I want to give a great shout out to Astroglide, astroglide.com, one of my great sponsors, and remind people that in just 2 weeks, April 5th to the 6th at the University of Toronto is the second annual Feminist Porn Conference, and you can still register, people. Go to fpcon.org for all the information. All these big name porn stars are going to be there. Madison Young, Dylan Ryan, Danny Wilde, Shine Louise Houston, April Flores, Courtney Trouble, and big shot academics. Constance Penley, Lisa Dugan, Kevin Heffernan, Lynn Camilla, and then some brand new people are just like popping out of the woodwork saying they're going to be there, like Jessica Drake, just added today. Jessica Drake is going to be there, and some other fantastic people. So, Susie, this question comes to us from Holly, who says that she's a big fan. And she says, I know the two of you have known each other a long time. How have your careers been influenced by each other? What are your personal favorites or highlights of the other's work? And so I'm going to start and be fast, and then you're going to end. You know, I have, this is the very first time Susie's been in my studio, and I have hanging one of my most prized possessions in the world, the movie poster signed by the major actors of Bound. And I will say that, but I didn't know that this was part of your body of work, but Bound is one of the first mainstream movies where I sat in the audience in the theater and said, oh my God, that is real lesbian sex and that is motherfucking hot lesbian sex. So I'm going to go with Bound. It's your turn.
Oh gosh. Tristan, you're my dear friend. When you ask me something like that, it's because you're tenacious and you never stop ticking. And when I feel down, I look at what you're doing and I'll go, look at Tristan. Look at Tristan go. And then I pick myself up again. Every time you do an update, a podcast, you know, every time Pucker Up was like this, you know,
text newsletter.
Yeah, it's like a Sierra Club newsletter that used to come. I'd read the whole freaking thing and I'd like, she knows everybody. She's plugged into everything. She's picking up on every little bit that happens whenever I want to understand what's going on and I'm feeling uncertain of myself. I always call you. You're my hotline. My hotline. What can I say?
You're my hotline too. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to even answer that question because it's like everything you do, you're one of the originals, right? It's like there would be no me if there was no Susie Bright. So we were connected in some former life or something, or we're going on to some greatness in our next lives. But in the meantime, you can listen to Susie Bright's podcast, In Bed with Susie Bright, on audible.com. If you haven't read her memoir, that's crazy talk. Please get it right now. Big Death, Little Sex.
No.
Big
Big Toupee, Little Cliche. Oh no, it's called Big Sex, Little Death.
Oh my God. How could I have gotten that right? It's like typed wrong right in front of me. I already. Okay. It's out in paperback from Steel Press. It's also on Kindle. I'm losing my mind. She also blogs regularly, SusieBright.com. You can follow her on Facebook and Twitter at Susie Bright. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources, Big Sex, Little Death. It was such a good title, too. I don't know why I fucked it up. Okay, so I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer, editor, and man of the hour, Colton. Announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, who's been very patient with me today. And tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be feminist artist, pornographer, and educator Madison Young, talking about her brand new memoir, Daddy.
Ooh.
Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan. On Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.